This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise belongs to Allah, the Most High, the Most Merciful. We thank Him and we ask Him for His help, aid, and forgiveness. And we ask Him to protect us from the evil of ourselves and the sins that we do. Indeed, whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of religious matters are those that are innovated, and every religious innovation is a bid'ah, every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd. Allah Azza wa Jal had given the month of Ramadan for it to achieve certain and particular objectives. You'll note, as you've been fasting for about 2 weeks and gotten used to the physical aspects of Ramadan, that Allah trims in it our physical excesses and indulgences. We don't eat and drink as we wish. We don't surrender to our desires as we wish. And there is an objective behind all of that. So by controlling our physical desires, Allah Azza wa Jal will naturally help us control our senses, that by which we understand the world and influence it. How do you receive the world? Through your eyes, ears, touch. That also gets modified and trimmed and reformed. But also how you influence the world based on what you receive, what you say, what you do with your hands, where you move. All that is influenced by that restraint that Allah Azza wa Jal had put upon us for our own good. And that also is there to establish an objective that is beyond it. Because as Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ, fasting is obligated upon you or given to you. The ayah ends with لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you will have taqwa, you'll be able to realize it, establish it, find it, know about it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, at-taqwa hahuna, taqwa is here, and he points to his chest sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to tell you that taqwa resides, emanates, begins inside of you. Yes, there is the taqwa of the badan. The body has a taqwa. And Ramadan, whether you realize it or not, conscious of it or not, teaches you the taqwa of the badan, at least part of it. I want to eat, but I'm not going to eat. I want to drink, but I'm not going to drink. I want to go here, I want to do that, but I'm not going to do it because it's Ramadan. So it teaches you restraint physically. And that physical restraint is important because it leads to, if a person especially is conscious what Allah wants out of this fast, it leads to the restraint of the heart. It leads to the fasting of the heart. for a person to monitor and reform and improve their hearts, control them as they are trying to control their bodies. To take from Ramadan something that will live with them beyond the beginning and the end of the month, to learn from it something which Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted them to learn, which is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And when you look at our heart, you'll find that what occupies it, what settles center in our heart, is actually what matters in our life. And what matters in our life is what inhabits the center of our hearts. And most of the time, the thing that takes us away from Allah Azza wa Jal is this world and its allure. Our obsession with it. And in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once in a khutbah spoke to people and he said, إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ زَهْرَةُ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتُهَا. He says, the thing that I fear most for you is this beautiful dunya, its flower, and what Allah is going to give you from it. That's what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I fear the most for you. And in fact, even before we continue with this hadith, if you just notice, the thing that takes us away from Allah Azza wa Jal more than anything else is this dunya. So a man asked him, قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَوَيَأْتِي الْخَيْرُ بِالشَّرْ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, does good produce evil? That this world and money and all of it, it's good. Does it produce evil? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was quiet for some time. And they've noticed that he was receiving revelation from Allah Azza wa Jalla, which is evidence also that the sunnah is revelation, because he's going to speak based on what he had received. So he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْخَيْرَ لَا يَأْتِي إِلَّا بِالْخَيْرِ أَوَ خَيْرٌ هُ. He says, good only produces good. Now this, is it good? And then he gives an example. And it's a physical thing that will help you remember your relationship to this dunya. He says, إِنَّ مِمَّا يُنْبِتُ الرَّبِيعُ مَا يَقْتُلُ حَبَطًا أَوْ يُلِمْ إِلَّا أَكِلَةَ الْخَضِرِ. He says, the spring brings with it vegetation. Spring rains bring visit vegetation, and animals rush to eat it. And he says they rush to eat it so much because it is sweet, it is attractive, that for some of them, it kills them or it almost kills them because they overeat. إِلَّا أَكِلَةَ الْخَضْرِ. Except animals that will eat vegetation. حَتَّى إِذَا امْتَلَأَتْ خَاصِرَتَاهَا اِسْتَقْبَلَتِ الشَّمْسِ فَثَلَطَتْ وَبَالَتْ ثُمَّ اجْتَرَّتْ. He says, until that animal, when it eats and it's full, it goes, it stops eating, it goes, it faces the sun, sits under the sun. Then it defecates and urinates and chews the cud. And then when it's hungry again, it goes back and it eats. And he says, وَإِنَّ هَذَا الْمَالُ حُلْوَةٌ خَضِرًا. He says, and this money, this wealth, this earth is sweet looking, sweet tasting. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ بِحَقِّهِ وَوَضَعَهُ فِي حَقِّهِ بُورِكَ لَهُ فِيهِ. If you take it rightfully and you give it rightfully, Allah will bless it for you. وَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ بِغَيْرِ حَقِّهِ. If you take it unrightfully, unlawfully, كَانَ كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَعُ. It'll be like the one who eats but is never satisfied in full. So consider the example that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given. He said, good only produces good. It means that this world is a mixed baggage because it can produce evil. And he says there are two types of animals which people then were familiar with, they could relate to. They said there is a type of animal that as soon as they see these plants, that newly sprung vegetation, they rush and they eat it, but without restraint. They keep eating and eating and eating because it's just so sweet tasting and so sweet looking. And they keep eating and eating and eating until they kill themselves. habata. They get so bloated that they die. Or close to that. He said, but there is another type of animal that has restraint. And it goes and it eats, and it becomes full, but knows when to stop. And it takes time out, time off, and it goes, and it processes, digests. And then only when it's hungry, it goes back and eats again. So this is the example of the dunya. You can eat so much of it, you can take so much of it without restraint, that it's going to kill you. This is going to kill your hereafter. And kill you in this dunya as well. It kills your soul. It kills any nobility in you, any morality in you. But there is someone who takes and consumes from this dunya, but with restraint. Knows when to stop, knows what to take. Takes it from halal. But also spends, gives for Allah Azza wa Jal. That person does not die because of this world. But the one who does not restrain himself, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he'd be like one who eats and is never full. Now I want you to pay attention to the link between consumption of this world and its restraint and eating. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made two connections to it in that hadith. The connection of that animal that overeats and the animal that does not. And the one who is so under the spell of this world that he eats and keeps eating from it, but is not full. Pay attention to eating and how Allah Azza wa Jalla had asked you to stop eating during the day in Ramadan. To understand that the key to restraint begins by restraining what you consume, by eating and drinking. The key, the first step to restraining in this dunya and consumption of it begins actually by restraining what you eat and what you drink. Because that is the key to this dunya. And if you learn in this month that you need to restrain yourself and there is benefit in it, and you can say no, and you have power over your desire, then you will know that you have power over other desires as well. Whether desires related to women, desire related to fame, desire related to money, desire related to anything that takes you away from Allah Azza wa Jal, you do have the power over it. Not that it is all haram. You're allowed to eat, you're allowed to consume. But when it consumes you, it will kill you. If you consume it and you stop, you're in control. But if it consumes you, it will kill you. Like that animal that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam talked about. So Allah Azza wa Jal in this month is teaching us something valuable. You can take of this dunya, but don't be obsessed. You can pursue this world, but don't make it your primary objective. You can be rich if you want, but don't be stingy. And don't collect it from haram. And don't spend it on haram. And observe Allah's rights when it comes to what you have. And spend for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then that money, that wealth, this dunya will be good for you. But if you don't, it will destroy you. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, who is at the center of our hearts? Who is the most important, or what is the most important thing? That does not mean that you have to spend all of your time in the masjid. There are people who can do this. It does not mean that you have to spend all of your time studying Islam and working in da'wah. Some people can do this, but not everybody can. And not everybody actually should. But it means that as you are pursuing this life, and at times it collides with what Allah loves, it collides with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his life, it offers you a different objective and goal.
Which one are you going to put first, Allah Azza wa Jal or this life? Because there is often going to be that challenge to what Allah loves. Challenge to Jannah. So which one is going to come first and which one resides at the center of your heart? Now all of us want Allah Azza wa Jal to be foremost in our hearts. All of us want the pursuit of Jannah to be foremost. But there is a difference between us wishing it and it being a reality. And it cannot be reality unless we do two things at least. One is learn to restrain our desires. And second, that we engage in constant worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, so Allah is always present in our hearts. You can have your own business, you can have your own career, you can be a professional, you can be everything you want to be. But if not daily, if you do not remember Allah Azza wa Jal daily, it is hard, impossible for Allah to be the most important thing in your life. Impossible. If salah is not part of your life, if Quran is not part of your life, what is going to remind you that Allah is the most important thing? Naturally, the dunya is going to be that. And naturally, the dunya is going to take precedence. Money, fame, pursuit of all of it is going to be more important than Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah will be secondary, and Islam will be secondary. So unless we have both of these things, it's hard for religion to compete with this world. And that's why we need a break. Pursue whatever you want to pursue halal wise. But once you finish, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. When you finish, when you're done, there has to be a time for Allah Azza wa Jal. And for that to happen, you at times you have to restrain your desires, you restrain your worldly ambitions, so that you can have a place for the otherworldly ambition. To be with Allah Azza wa Jalla as close as you can to Him, and as close as you can to your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, to escape the punishment of hellfire. These things are not going to be a reality unless and until religion becomes a reality in our life. And you see, Ramadan is doing this. When it comes to your desires, it says, okay, restrain. You have to, you have no option. Restrain. You're not going to eat, you're not going to drink. And if we have a modicum of integrity in our hearts, we'll say, okay, I'm not going to look at this haram this month, at least. I'm not going to, you know, say these same things in this month, at least. So you're restraining yourself. And that is taking you away from the bad of this world. And then, if you push yourself, and you need to push yourself, you can't let yourself roam as it wishes. You need to push yourself and say, no, I want to read the Quran. I'm going to force myself and sit and read the Quran. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to force myself to sit and read the Quran. Just like if you and I are sick and force ourselves to take medicine, you got to force yourself. This is our medicine. And in the beginning, it will taste a bit bitter. Standing in Taraweeh or in Qiyam, it's not all that fun in the beginning. It's physically demanding. But after some time, you'll start enjoying it. But you need to force yourself to instill that habit of ibadah. To train your body. But actually more important than your body, because your body can adjust in a couple of days, but to train your soul, that rebellious soul. You need to be here, and you need to listen to this because it's important. So once you have this and you have that, then you have landed on the land of taqwa. And then the rest of the journey is up to you. What you do with it in the remainder of Ramadan and after Ramadan, it's up to you, but you've landed in the land of taqwa, where Allah Azza wa Jal now has become or is starting to become the most important thing in your life. And then sacrificing this life for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, becomes natural and easy. Now let's, in the month of Ramadan, as we observe what we are doing physically, let's observe also our hearts. How is my heart doing in this month? Do I love Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I enjoy being close to Him? Do I enjoy reading the Quran? If there is some problem in my life, do I rush to ask Him and ask and expect relief and the best from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I trust Allah Azza wa Jal more than anything and anyone else? Do I feel the warmth of being close to Him? Do I long to meet him subhanahu wa ta'ala? After so many years of worship and hearing about him, do I actually long, I wish to see him and to talk to him and to ask him questions subhanahu wa ta'ala and hear the answers? Am I looking forward to all of this? Am I looking forward to seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finally? To see him here, to hear from him that hadith that I used to hear from so many other people, but now I want to hear him from his own words, from his own lips. Do I have that in my heart? And how am I with other people? Am I also envious? Do I hate? Am I proud? Is it full of evil and ill intentions toward other people? Or when I hear about so-and-so and their problems, I ask for Allah to forgive them. I seek excuses for them. I don't envy the good that Allah had given them. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give me the thing that I want, but I do not have. Do I belittle people internally? Or do I actually appreciate and esteem those who are around me and wish them the best? And I think that I am the least of all, not the best of all. How is my heart, the part that is hidden that no one can see except you and Allah Azza wa Jal? And no one can fix except you and Allah Azza wa Jal. So as we're trying to improve our fast, and as we approach the last 10 and most important nights of Ramadan, not only should we be ready physically for them, but internally as well. To always ask ourselves, what am I living for? What is my objective? What is my goal? And where does Allah factor in all of this? And can I make Allah Azza wa Jal the most important, the thing that I live for? And I make everything else subservient to him, or at least it does not collide with what he wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And can I keep cleaning my heart, so that when I meet Allah Azza wa Jal, I don't only meet him with physically performing the ibadah, but more importantly, internally have performed the ibadah. And Allah looks at that heart and he sees a clean heart. That's the heart that will continue in ta'a after Ramadan. That's the heart that will always be close to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the heart that will stay away from sin. And most importantly, that will enjoy its ibadah, will enjoy the Quran, because it's open. So we ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to grant us taqwa in the month of Ramadan, the taqwa in body and the taqwa in heart. We ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to accept our fasting, to accept our ibadah and salah, to make us of those who read the Quran often and understand it and implement it, to make us of those who call upon Allah and pray to Him frequently without stop. And we ask Allah to accept our dua in the month of Ramadan and after the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to cleanse our hearts, to remove envy and shirk and bid'ah and nifaq from them, to remove any hatred from them, and make our hearts very close to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, we ask You to make us of the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, internally and externally, to those who will be resurrected in His company alayhi salatu wa salam, to be of those who will deserve to drink from His kawthar alayhi salatu wa salam. We ask You, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to make us of those who are forgiven in the month of Ramadan, to make us of those whose ibadah will coincide with Laylatul Qadr and whose sins will be forgiven on that night. We ask You, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to bless us and bless our spouses and bless our children, bless our families, bless our community, and bless the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to protect us all from evil and grant us all the good that will take us to Jannah. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. اللهم نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، ونسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك، اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، اللهم تقبل منا عباداتنا في رمضان، اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا، وتقبل منا قيامنا، وتقبل منا دعاءنا، واغفر لنا فيه الزلل رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن صادف ليلة القدر فقامها إيمانا واحتسابا، واجعلنا اللهم ممن صام إيمانا واحتسابا، وممن قام إيمانا واحتسابا، فغفرت له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر لنا أجمعين ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم سدد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، واجمعهم على الحق رب العالمين، واحمهم من عدوهم يا أرحم الراحمين. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، وأقم الصلاة.